Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth broadcast, coming to you from the studios here at Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. I'd like to have you to be with us. We're back in 1 John. We're talking about loving God biblically and what it will produce in our lives. So I hope you'll turn in your Bibles there to 1 John. We'll begin with chapter 2, and then we'll be going on. We're in the thought that the Word of God and loving of God will produce in us separation, learning to discern between the things that are right and things that are wrong. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, have a good quality song, and then into the next message here on this matter of loving God biblically. Our Father, we thank you for the great joy we have to know thee as our Savior. We thank you for giving us your word that we don't have to be questioning, well, is this sin, that sin? You've shown us sin is sin. And then you've shown us how that you gave your life on that cross at Calvary so that we might have eternal life. We want to thank you for that. As we share that with people today, may the Spirit of God bring conviction upon the hearts and minds of individuals who are not saved, that they might come to know thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. And for each one who knows thee as their Savior, it may be a day of growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord as you command us over there in 2 Peter 3:18. Now, Lord, may you get the glory that's deserving of your name as we look into your word, and we're just going to trust you for the results that you'll bring. In Jesus' name, amen.
Things work together on my way to make me more like Jesus every day. Though trials come and go, he's molding me, I know, and with a calm assurance I can say, God's way is the best way. Though I cannot understand what lies ahead, I know he's in control and he's watching o'er my soul. For God's way is the best way. It's the only way.
Without a question, God's way is the best way. May look like some briars and thistles and tough road ahead, but that is the best way, for God has a way to make his way in the wilderness. What a blessing. That was a good song. I appreciate that. Now I want you to look with me at this matter of separation. We're going to look at a couple other scriptures here very quickly. May I give you a foundational verse for this? Go over to verse 1 John chapter 2, where we're going to do most of our study. We will look here in this subject of separation over to 2 Corinthians, and then we'll also look at another portion in Philippians. But I want you to see something, verse 7 in chapter 2 of 1 John. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. You see, what John is saying, what we got from the Lord Jesus Christ was the word of God. And that's the commandment I'm giving you, although the Lord, giving the same word, told them that he would give them a new commandment. And that new commandment was that they were to love one another. Over in the Gospel of John in chapter 15, verse 12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So it is the word of God that we're talking about, the Bible. It has the answer. We're going to look at a couple other portions of Scripture, but it leads us to separation. When we have a real love for the Lord, we will separate from those things that bring a disgrace or a reproach or are in conflict with the Lord and the Word of God. Now, notice, if you will, as we look here at 1 John chapter 2, we had read verses 15 through 17, and a key verse here, you're familiar with verse number 16. I think I said 17. It's in verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then he says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard from Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So with that fact being in mind, we need to learn to be discerning about the teaching that is going on. And I'll tell you, the false teachers do not come in with blatant false truth. They come in with subtlety, just as the old serpent did in the garden. They're following the pernicious ways of the devil, and so they'll come in very subtly, and they'll come in and they'll present just elements of false doctrine. And once they start getting you to doubt the Word of God, or once they start getting you to accept a few of those little tidbits, they then have you on the hook. And it's just a matter of them reeling you in, and they'll let you play around with that for a little, so that they might fully get you engulfed and get that hook, as you think of catching a fish, once it's in and really up into the jaw, or really into the roof of the mouth, it's not going to get away. And that's exactly what they're working at. So the Word of God is a big deterrent. Now go back with me to John and chapter 15. I want you to look at a couple of verses here. Look at verse 18. This is chapter 15. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You see, I'm not in the world to make the world love me. I'm not in the world just to irritate the world either. I'm in the world to set the example. I should set the example in my neck of the woods for honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there may be, there may be a lot of the false doctrine here. And so they're looking at that, then they need to hear the truth. And so as I give forth the truth of the Word of God, surely it will be attacked. Surely it will be mocked. It'll be jeered. But I need to continue with the Word of God. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. Now, that's kind of not really what we want to hear, but that's a fact. If they've persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ and you bring forth the clear presentation of the Word of God, they will persecute you. If you have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. That is, those who will follow your teaching. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now, beloved, all you need do is read the life of the Apostle Paul prior to his conversion in Acts chapter 9, and you'll see that he was zealous. And several times in his testimonies before the various leaders there in the book of Acts in the latter chapters, he talks about how he was zealously doing what he thought was what God wanted. He was trying to defend the Jewish attitude of God. And they were trying to stamp out the way, as the Christians were called. But the point is, those who were of the way, those who were of the faith of Christ, took a stand and were different. In Acts chapter 11:26, it says that they were first called Christians in Antioch. The believers were called Christ-like in Antioch. Why? Because their life manifested the very thing they professed. So separation is built upon your life and my life in light of the Word of God. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians. This is a church that had a lot of problems with this matter of separation. They allowed a lot of things of the world to creep into their churches. They had preferential, they were looking at who is the best. You know, today we have that. Oh, I've done this, I've done that. And we make great testimony of what we have done. You know, I think of that song that says, I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. Then the answer comes back, well, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon the cruel cross. You know, the Lord, what he had done for us, the songwriter said, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize, sail through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Well, beloved, we need to have a real strong stand on this matter of separation. And the place that you look at this is, as I say, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. And notice he's talking about the relationship with individuals. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Now, there are those who would draw back and say, well, you got to watch. You need to work for only Christians. That would be nice if it were possible. But it's not necessarily possible if you're in a business. If you create your own business, you can do that. But if you're working for somebody else, many times you are working for unsaved people. Now, that's okay, as long as you're not proceeding to follow their deceit or whatever they might do. But if they're legitimate, I worked for an unsaved man. I drove truck for him. Not my brother-in-law, it was his dad. But you know, I'll tell you what, that guy, I'll never forget this. Somebody came in, he had a little store, and there where we had the trucks all parked. And some guy came to him and said, listen, I know. He said, if you just do this and this and this, you can make more money. And I'll never forget his answer. And I was kind of interested in what he was saying. I was stocking shelves for him. I didn't have a run to make at that time. And he said to the man, he said, the day I have to cheat the public to be in business, he said, it's the day I close everything up and sell all those trucks. That guy left his premise and didn't like that too much. But you see, beloved, there is a stand that you can take. And he did. By the way, that man got saved shortly before he passed away, maybe a year or so before he passed away. But it was because he saw the consistency in Christians' lives. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, okay. Secondly, he says, what concord hath Christ with Belial or the devil? What can you associate between the two? You can't. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And then he says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? In other words, you are, and he says it here, for ye are the temple of the living God. Now, that's an interesting thing. What are the idols that we have put up to worship ahead of the Lord? You know, we have the hunting seasons around here in Pennsylvania, and I enjoy them. There's not a thing wrong with it. But I know some people that's almost their God. They would sacrifice if they saw a real great rifle or shotgun that would do the job. They felt a little better. It wouldn't be a way from them to take money that ought to be given to the work of the Lord or even ought to be given for their families. I saw many a man buy a rifle when he really had need in his own home for food or for clothing, whatever. Then he would go around and say, well, I don't have any money for food. But he'd spend hundreds of dollars on a rifle. Many times right after hunting season was over, they'd sell the rifle for about half the value so they could buy some Christmas gifts. Now, it didn't make too much sense to me, but I knew of a couple of people who did that almost every year. So the very simple thing is, what does the temple of God have to do with idols? What agreement had the temple of God with idols? And for you are the temple of the living God. For as God has said, I will dwell with them and walk in them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's listen to a song, and we'll wrap things up here today.
Take my hand, precious Lord. precious Lord, lead me home.
Amen. Precious Lord, take my hand. You see, in this matter of taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the way it's got to be. We've got to rely upon the Lord, because certainly there are those that will tell you, you ought not be so opinionated. Well, if it's violating the Word of God, I should be opinionated. I should take a stand and say, no, we cannot go any further on this. We have to stop. We have to take a stand. Now, there have been many times in the years that I've been serving the Lord that have had to do such a thing. And you don't try to be belligerent in it. You don't try to be nasty about it. You just try to let them hear the truth and how it needs to be in their lives. Now, everybody doesn't have to believe everything the way I see it. The point is, how does the Bible see it? How do I take this stand on the Word of God and follow through with a biblical approach? You see, if I'm loving God biblically, it is going to come out that way. Now, I want you to look with me at, we've already looked at 1 John 2:15 and talk about this matter of separation. It is a matter of separation from worldliness. Now, again, you can probably say there's as many things classified worldly as there are people out there. All right, now how does this line up with the Word of God? I'm not saying twist the scriptures to adjust to it and accept that, but rather at face value, here is this thing, whether it be a relationship, whether it be a job situation, whether it be school, well, whatever it might be, God leading you to a particular thing, actually, He'll never lead you contrary to the Word of God. But let's suppose there's something here that you're just trying to decipher. Well, don't make the decision until you really pray about it and ask God to show you in His Word. Many times, God will show you in His Word, in your regular devotions, here is what I'm trying to say to you. And then you can proceed with that. Now, we need to realize that God will give us a victory. You know, sometimes we face obstacles and we wonder, well, you know, I don't know how to get over that. No, you may not. But God can give you the victory. Look with me at 1 John and chapter 3. And verse 3 says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." That's virtually the same thing that Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. But now, in verse 4, look at this. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You see, it is a devil that would lead us to deceit, lead us to on the wrong path. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ who came to destroy the very works of the devil. That's why we need to be in prayer and in the study of God's Word, so that we might understand this is the way. This is what God wants me to do. This is how He wants me to live. Are you seeing that in your life? You see, that is part of loving God biblically. When you have your mind focused on the Lord, what ends up happening is He guides you into the direction He wants you to go. It may be a vocation. It may be a particular situation. You may be asking him to guide you as you're going to go talk to somebody. And all of a sudden, you know, when you're there to meet that person, whatever the case is, and I'm not looking at any particular subject, but many times he'll give you the answer right away. He'll give you the statement to make that would produce a right answer in accord with the Word of God. So we need to be in prayer. Let me just give you this something real quick. Like this biblically loving God can be evidenced in our walk. And I'm just going to give you references and let you go following it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, to walk circumspectly, upright. That's a way the walk should be. Secondly, in that biblical walk, there are three things that I believe that you can put into your life and show you how to walk for the Lord. One, you need to walk steadfastly. Now, Peter talks about this, and Peter would know this. 1 Peter 5:9. You need to walk uprightly. The psalmist declared that in Psalms 125:4. And we need to walk focused on Jesus Christ. That's what you see in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, when they were called Christians first at Antioch. You can look at that at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Do you love the Lord? He loves you. There's no question about that. But do you love him biblically? If we might be of help to you in discerning this or studying through it, please contact us at WOT@WOTBM.org. And then make mention, message of truth, and here's the situation. We'll help you with what we can. You'll not be put on a mailing list, but we will be praying for you. If we can help you in any way, please, in spiritual things, please let us know. Father, take the word, use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.